Hey, good day, everyone. I'm Rob Aspero with the Viral Volley Podcast. With me today, I've got probably more than two-time All-American in my book, just a good guy all around, back-to-back national champion, the former AVCA National Player of the Year, USA Volleyball Setter, and international professional volleyball player, Josh Tuoniga. Thanks for coming on today. Such an honor to speak with you here on the Viral Volley Podcast.
I appreciate you having me, Rob.
Hey, it's always great following your career, and I love having great people on the show, and you definitely fit the bill. So I'm excited to ask you the questions I've got for you and talk about the stuff you've done over your career. But one of the most basic things I want to start out with, because I know you have a very interesting story of how you started out playing volleyball and then the connections you've made. So let's start by, how did you get into playing volleyball?
Yeah, so I've always saw the sport. At a very young age, both my parents played the sport, for fun. And then my dad was able to play some community college ball. And then my older brother played. So, at a young age, I was able to see him kind of take the sport into the next level. He played for UH and University of Hawaii. So seeing the sport at a young age was kind of like, there wasn't much getting away from it, you know what I mean? So, at the time, I was playing both sports, football and volleyball. And it was like, for me, it was like, which one, I wasn't sure which one I was going to take to the next level or which one I wanted to pursue more. Over the years, after, the extra trainings, all the extra workouts, everything I was doing outside of the practice court, of the weight room, it was all geared for volleyball. And I started loving watching film. I started loving playing the sport. I started loving running offense, just being a setter. I fell in love with that process. So ended up dropping football around mid high school, and then took it on from there. And yeah, it's been a pretty awesome ride.
So have you always been a setter then, or did you aspire to be in a different position?
Honestly, I've always wanted to hit like every setter, but since I started playing, which was around 10. When I started club. I've been a setter since I touched the ball. It's funny because once my dad found out I was a left-handed
attacker, player,
it was like, man, you're gonna set. So I was like, all right, I'll roll with it.
Great call by dad there, by the way. And just being a former setter, I understand that we as setters, we could have been the best hitters ever, but we chose to pursue the brains route.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'll let the other guys do their thing and, I'll take the setter spot.
Now, you've known longtime teammate TJ DeFalco for so many years. I mean, can you share your early years of playing volleyball with your fam and also with TJ and the DeFalco family? Because I know there's really deep connections there.
Yeah. Honestly, the first time I remember meeting TJ, we were about 9 or 10 years old. And, we would do like regular beach trainings during the summer. And this was back when I lived in like Temecula area, Hemet area. And TJ, I believe, lived in Fallbrook, I believe at the time. Mm-hmm. The first time I met him was at a beach training that my dad ran. He showed up to the sand courts. It was early mornings. And from there on, like, I think we played that summer together in a couple beach tournaments. It just kind of took off from there. I think our dads met before we met, and then Tori, TJ's dad, brought him over, and then it was just beach training after beach training, then beach volleyball tournaments after tournaments. So we played a lot of beach tournaments, and then I took up football during the summer, I took a couple summers off from playing beach, and then we met up again in club around 14 and under. He came over to HBC after a year, I think, with Shorebreak. I think our seventh grade year, around like 12, 13 years old. He came over to HBC. I've already been with HBC a year. And once he came over to HBC, we played club all together through those, I think, 4 or 5 years. And then high school, I came over to Huntington Beach High School and played within those last 2 years of our high school. So it's been a pretty, long journey with him. A lot of people ask how it is playing with him, and it's just like, man, like, I don't know. It's just like playing with a brother. It's like playing with, just a guy you've known since you've known the sport. So It's been a pretty awesome ride. Like, you know, the guy's awesome. TJ's just awesome to be around as a person, and then also as a teammate and player, just elevates the game so much. So,
well, I mean, one of the things that stuck out, always being on the receiving end, by the way, of what you and TJ would do to the teams that I normally worked for announcing-wise, I got to see the special relationship with you guys on the court. So it definitely was unique. So I knew there was something going on there. And obviously coming to get to know your dad and TJ's dad, it was pretty apparent that you guys have very deep roots together, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. So it's actually a great segue to my next question. Both of you ended up going to going to Huntington Beach High School to play for Craig Bisanti and the Oilers. And yeah, you guys amassed an 80-0 record. And I'm almost certain I saw your only set loss, and that was like your senior year against Corona Del Mar in the CIF State Championships. What made your team so efficient and so dominant?
I think I really think it's like the guys that we had on the court and even on the bench. Just the mindset was like, one, we wanted to win. We wanted to win like all the time. So like losing was like, you know, we hated losing, especially like, you know, TJ also brought that into the team as well. Like just like losing was not, you know, something we wanted to do. And then, I don't know, we had guys that just really wanted to get after it and really wanted to pursue the sport at the next level. So you get like a good environment, you get a good culture just from guys like that. On top of a coach who, you know, knew how to facilitate it and knew how to put us together and knew, you know, just put us in good situations. So, I really think, you know, just the guys that we had on the team, like Brandon Sanders, who, you know, just had an unbelievable college career, crushed it as well, you know, when I got to play with him my junior year, his senior year of high school. And then you had, you know, Davis Gillette, who also went to the next level, Blake, or the libero, who also could have gone to the next level, you know, just all these guys that could have played and did play at the next level that, you know, really contributed to the culture, contributed to, you know, the mindset, and it created a really good environment in the gym. So
yeah, you had such a loaded lineup at the pins, I mean, with Brendan at one in three rotations, then TJ and the other three, and actually you were setting the big to them. So if they overloaded on one hitter, you just go to the big, and yeah. You guys you ran such a powerful offense. I mean, it was a dominant team performance watching you through high school. But and that's not to take away what you were doing offensively because of your left hand and your leanings of wanting to hit the ball. You're very offensive minded. So even if you didn't have that option, your left hand was pretty wicked as well. So
I mean, I've always tried to be a part of the offense. You know, it's always fun as a set of tutors.
You have to get yours. I get it.
You know what I mean? So, you know, trying to get mine is always part of the plan. But we had some guys with some talents and some arms. So, it made it a lot easier for me to, you know, free up and, you know, trust in them as well as them trusting in me to kind of do what I can to contribute.
Oh, no doubt. Hey, let's move on to your college years at Long Beach State. You know, coming into a program that hadn't seen a national championship for 17 so years before coming in, what were your expectations as you were entering Division I, II men's volleyball competition?
I definitely knew it was going to be a pretty big jump as far as the, you know, the skills and the physicality of the sport. But going in, you know, having conversations with Knipe and Tyler Hildebrand at the time and Nick McRae and the coaching staff, as well as some of our captains and leaders, there were some, you know, there was always talks of, you know, some success where, you know, we wanted to do really well in our first year there, you know, and have, you know, just high standards right when we got there. So it was always this, the, you know, when you talk about it enough, it's always just like, okay, that's just part of it. It's just, you know, it's who you are. So when we got there, it was just like right when we got there, it was just hit the ground running, you know, mindset and culture. One, the mindset and culture when we got there was just awesome to be a part of. I really thought, you know, Knipe just had a really good culture there, and the guys that were there really built something that could have been, you know, that it was like a blueprint to really, you know, get in there and just put in the work. And I really think that's really what it took to kind of, you know, get that success going, is we had the blueprint. Now it's just time to put in the work and do what it took to, you know, have the success that we had. So Yeah. It was really awesome being a part of Long Beach and being part of that culture, just because it was just, you know, it's a brotherhood. It's such a tight-knit group. And, you know, it's just the expectations and standards were always, you know, to get to that, you know, to get to that last game, that Natty champ. So, yeah.
Now, how is it like having such a close friend be able to come along with you on your collegiate journey in TJ DeFalco? And actually, you had some other longtime friends that had gone to the Long Beach program. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, no, it was really awesome to have them there, just because, you know, sometimes you may feel like you're taking it on alone, but at the time, I didn't feel that at all. Like, TJ being there, Kyle Ensing being there, you know, I played with Kyle a couple years with the youth and junior team. Also, like, some guys that I've known across the net as well, Lewis Richards, you know, all these guys that kind of came in when I was there. It was really awesome having them there, just because, you know, also with TJ and Kyle being there and us jumping right into a starting role from the start was something that was pretty awesome, just because it's like, okay, we can all bounce ideas off of each other. We can go in, you know, we're all on the same page, all on the same kind of, we're all kind of going through the same things, you know, with, you know, freshman year. So it was just awesome having them together, just to, you know, lean on each other and help each other out. So,
yeah. Well, your first 2 years, obviously making it to the NCAA tournament, that's a lot to be said for, you know, basically a freshman and a sophomore. But you know, come the national championship semifinal, hopefully I'm not bringing up a sour memory, but it was always BYU, and you were coming across Brendan Sander in that semifinal match. Technically, in your entire career, you've been to the NCAAs the entire time. How did those first 2 years experience going to the national tournament motivate you for the latter part, your upperclassman years at Long Beach State?
Yeah, it definitely was pretty tough going through it. But it made it really easy to have something to, you know, have motivation if I didn't have any already. You know, going into that junior and senior year, you know, it might be, if you want it, it might be tough to have that motivation to try and go after it again. But we already had that motivation because we lost twice in a row to these guys, a really good team. But, you know, we wish we could have done a little bit better. And we had things we wanted to work on the following year. So it made it really easy to have something tangible to really work on. And you know, mentally, we were just like, man, we don't want to lose anymore. So, you know, it honestly, it made it a lot easier. And it made, you know, our guys a lot more driven to, you know, really push for, you know, all the way.
Right. So in 2018, your Long Beach State team went a phenomenal 28-1, not losing a match until the Big West Conference Tournament Final. What was it like to hoist Long Beach State's first national championship trophy in nearly 20 years? And what did that mean to you and the program?
Oh, it meant a lot. I mean, you know, you put in a lot of hours, you know, you do whatever you think it takes to, you know, to make it to that game and then also win that game. So, you know, at that time when we won, it was just a big reflection over the past 2-3 years of just like, man, it took a lot and we did it. You know, we actually pushed through, and it was awesome to be a part of, because you saw an all-in mindset from the entire group, whether it's from red shirts to starting to coaching staff to social media, the people who ran media, to, you know, our front office, the ADs. You know, you saw just a full-on effort, you know, of everybody trying to get to that game and, you know, do whatever it took to win that game. So, to see kind of like the fruits of our labor was pretty awesome. And, you know, just being a part of that group and seeing how everybody was just all in, just the entire community willing to push us through was pretty awesome. So,
well, let's jump to the 2019 season. The team went 28-2 in your 2019 campaign. And I was watching the piece by Olivia Phelps, Legacy Long Beach State, that documented that 2019 season. And you had an insightful and motivational response to Long Beach State's loss to Hawaii at the five-setter at the Big West Tournament Final again. Can you take us through what you were thinking and how you used that to motivate your team to push through and eventually get that back-to-back national championship?
Yeah, so initially after the game, it was one, it was long game, really good game, and, you know, Hawaii played really well. We had some, you know, hiccups here and there, and we, you know, that was one thing I kind of hung my head on directly after we lost. You know, I just didn't want to be in the, you know, initially I just didn't want to be in the gym. I wanted to leave. I didn't want to feel it. But as we were walking to the locker room, Knight brought us back out, and initially I was like, man, I don't want to watch them, you know, hoist the trophy up. I don't want to watch, you know, the crowd cheering for them, you know. That's the initial reaction I had. And for sure, majority of the team, we had that as well. But as I got out there, as I watched them, you know, it was more of just like, man, I need to, we lost, so we deserve to really kind of sit here and watch this. But two, you know, it's me personally, man, I really wanted to like feel it. I really wanted to, you know, not just shy away or run away from the loss, to really sit there and, you know, kind of, you know, just be in that presence of, you know, them, you know, celebrating and, you know, them winning it. So once once I was able to have that in my mind, you know, I kind of stood a little taller. You know, before I was like, when we first got out there, I was kind of slouched over. I was like, not about it. But once I kind of like realized, like, man, like, I really need to feel this. I really need to see this happen and, you know, have this happen to me and me just take in whatever's happening. I stood a little taller. I embraced it, you know. And once that happened, it was like, man, now I have something in the back of my mind, if I didn't have already, to push me to within those 2 or 3 weeks that we had to train for, you know, our next game. So it was like, it was something that, you know, I wasn't really thinking about going in, but it was something I, you know, that once I saw it, I was like, man, I have to feel it. So that way, when I go into the weight room, when I go into the practice gym, when I go into film, if I'm, you know, if I'm not feeling motivated, I have something in the back of my head to push me. So yeah.
Well, those, in 2018 and 2019, there's no doubt that between Hawaii and Long Beach State, those were probably the best matches of those seasons, just because they were five setters and man on man matchups were so phenomenal to watch. And there was the highest level of competition and the highest level of entertainment value, because you guys just seemed to up the bar as far as athleticism and competition each time you played during those final 2 years of your career. So,
it was awesome just because, you just saw adjustments being made. Like, they were making adjustments, we were trying to make adjustments. And it was just awesome to be a part of, just because, one, it's like, you know, it wasn't so one-dimensional. It was like, okay, maybe they're going to be this team on this game, but they're going to change it up on this game. You know, they're going to, you know, take a little more risk at the end line, or they're going to be more pin heavy, or be more middle heavy. Like, Joe, one, being the, like, a really great setter, was able to, you know, set really good offense. So, you know, it wasn't, you know, we can camp out on, you know, one option. It was like, man, they're going to adjust, so we got to do the same. So it was really awesome to be part of that, how that game grew, and, you know, just when it grew, I was able to learn a ton from that too. So,
yeah. Well, without a doubt, you have become part of one of the greatest teams in Long Beach State's history, because of all the accolades you received, not only as an individual, but as a team. What does it mean to you to be an integral part of Long Beach State men's volleyball history and that success?
Yeah. I mean, it's awesome. Like, it's a great feeling. It's something you're not thinking about during your years there. One, you're just thinking about one goal, and it's to get to that Natty Champ. But once you kind of, like, are able to sit back and reflect and, you know that you left something good and you left something better than you found it, it's really awesome, and, you know, it's really humbling too. Like, so it's, I don't know, thinking back and thinking about the legacy that we were able to kind of leave, and thinking about, you know, the culture we left there, and the, you know, just overall traditions we were able to kind of put in place, it was pretty awesome. And, you know, to be a part of, and, you know, I to be able to look back on that every time I, you know, I go through, you know, even now, it's, you know, I'm able to be motivated just from that, you know, just seeing, you know, thinking about that, like, man, I want to be even better now, you know, if I didn't have that already.
Now, I've got to ask you this, but what were one or two of your favorite moments of the 2019 season?
2019 season. I don't know, man. It's when I think of 2019, obviously we won, we were able to win it at home, but I also think of like the times I was able to, like all the moments I was able to share outside of the court with some of my teammates, you know, some of the guys that have been there for 4 years, where, you know, we were able to cherish a lot of the time together, you know, in that last year, you know, all the mornings that we were able to work out and, you know, share jokes and in the locker room, you know, all those little moments right there was pretty awesome to be a part of. And, you know, looking back on it, it's like those are the moments I miss, you know, on top of, you know, being able to really grind and put out the best volleyball we could. It was just a really awesome feeling to be a part of that group and the part of, you know, be under that coaching staff. And yeah, that's those little locker room moments and you know, off court moments were something I would probably remember for a really long time.
Awesome. Hey, so obviously you and TJ, Kyle, Junior, Nick Amato have a very special relationship with head coach Allen Knight, and are obviously the guys that bought into the culture he's brought into. Can you share with us your thoughts on the relationship that all the players had with Coach Knight?
I don't know. Knight just knows how to, you know, one, we were able to, he's really easy to play for just because he's so invested and he's so involved, you know. And, you know, when you see a coach like that that's, you know, wants to put so much into it, you know, just 110% effort and time, and to see him, you know, push himself, you know, the way he does as a coach, it would, you know, as a player, you just want to be able to, you know, match that same effort. And, you know, yeah, and then he's such a knowledgeable person about the game. Like we were able to learn so much, and you know, he taught us so much, and you know, we were able to just bounce ideas off of him, and it was just awesome to learn from him. And you know, you get somebody like that to play for, and you know, you want to play for him, you know, that much more. So
yeah,
you know, he was just an awesome coach to be a part of and or to play under, and you know, he was really awesome at getting the best out of us, you know. So yeah.
Well, you know, you served as one of the leaders on the team as a team captain, and it just seems from my observations of watching your play and how the team was led, you have like a servant leadership model that you operate from. You want to make others around you better. Obviously, you want to be better, but I see you making the effort to reel in your teammates and get them on board and encourage. What has brought you to that place and to that kind of leadership on the court? And I imagine it's off the court as well, because you're very much an encourager.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I learned the game from my dad right when I first started, and that's something he's preached from the jump, you know, him and my mom, you know, teaching us how to be good teammates, teaching us how to be good leaders, and overall just good people. And when you're able to be a good person and, you know, and just have that on the court, it really kind of, you know, translates a little bit. So I found importance in, you know, trying to elevate my players and elevate, you know, my teammates, you know, obviously each person is different. So it was really fun for me to kind of, you know, Jordan, I'm not going to talk to Jordan the same way I'm going to talk to a different player. And it was just going through that process was pretty awesome on my end, just because, you know, I just love doing that, you know, being able to, you know, uplift somebody, get the best out of them. And, you know, it's going to be different for somebody else. You know, Kyle Lindsay, I'm not going to talk the same to as TJ DeFalco. So that process alone was something I found really important and, you know, really fun as well. So, yeah.
Well, at the conclusion of the 2019 NCAA season, you were invited to compete for the USA in some of the marquee international tournaments like Volleyball Nations League. How is it like to share the court with not only some of the best players in the United States, but to play against some of the best in the world?
Yeah, it was a real honor. Like, it was seeing the guys you see on the court or on TV, you know, some of these big names. You know, I think my first start in the summer was against Brazil, and, you know, and some of these guys, man, you've been watching since, you know, they've been playing so long, like Wallace and, you know, Lucas in the middle and Bruno setting and Lucarelli on the outside, all these guys that you can, you know, that I would name, were on the other side of the court, you know, on top of guys that I was playing with, like Taylor Sanders and Matt Anderson and all these big namers you see on TV. Like, it was just a really cool thing, really cool experience to be a part of. And on top of that, you know, a lot of the USA guys being just really cool and down-to-earth guys and being able to help me in my process of going from college to professional volleyball. It was, you know, that I learned so much from them, and, you know, just to be on the same side of the court was a real honor. And you know, just through my time there, I just felt in that summer, just felt super blessed to kind of be a part of that. So,
well, it had to be an incredible experience because, you know, although there are a bunch of new faces, just the travel and ability to compete, knowing that you're at the same level as these international renowned athletes is speaks loudly about the play that you've elevated to, because seeing you through high school and then through Long Beach State, and I saw the transformation of the setter from Huntington or Long Beach, California, in this little high school gym, crushing everyone to dominating at the collegiate level and now moving in the international phases. So the transformation of what you've done, like stylistically and technique-wise with your setting and your volley IQ, and there's no doubt that you've increased to such a phenomenal level. So, you know, just shows your love for the game, and the fact that you're so successful in the higher levels speaks loudly to the person you are in the game. So great work, Josh.
Thank you. Appreciate you, Rob.
Hey, let's move on to your international career. You've played your first year. You signed your first professional contract, and I try not to butcher this name, to play in Poland for Śląsk Malów Suwałki.
Yeah, perfect.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Now, how was that transition? Because from when we talked, you're the lone American on the team. And how was your first season?
Oh, it was awesome. I really had a fun experience. Just all around, like going in, I wasn't sure what to expect. I wasn't sure, you know, because you hear different stories about professional volleyball. But really going there and, you know, playing, I really think I had a really good situation as well, just because the guys were relatively younger, as well as them being just really awesome guys. And then on top of that, the volleyball was really high. Like the level of volleyball was really high in Poland. So I was able to play good volleyball with good people and, you know, just really, you know, learn the game right from scratch. Like when I got there, I really felt like I was back to square one, right? When I was learning the sport, it was like, man, like now there's a whole new, you know, different skill set that, you know, I can learn or I can learn from, and all these different setters I've never seen before are dishing the ball like crazy. So it's like, man, like it was just, I was so like struck by the opportunity of growth that was there. And like I really, like, for the first few months it was kind of like, man, like how do I fit, how do I, you know, really can I really hang with some of these big guys, but once I kind of got some confidence together, it was like, man, now I can play volleyball my way. I can really, like, you know, bounce off of ideas from some of these guys who've been playing the sport for so long and you know, grow my own sport, so, or grow my own volleyball. So I was I mean, it was really eye-opening, you know. It was really awesome and fun, and, you know, I couldn't have asked for, you know, a better season, you know.
Right. Well, you know, from where you're talking, you'd said that the team that you were on had just moved into the primary league, or the Premier League in Plus Liga, and you had a really, I mean, beyond expectations finish. Can you talk a little bit about that for our listeners and viewers?
Yeah. Well, you know, coming up from the league under, the team won that the second league, and they were able to kind of move up into Plus Liga, which is the top league in Poland. And so the going in and talking to the front office, the expectations of the team were, man, like, we just got to this league, we really want to stay in the league, so, you know, whatever we can do to just stay part of the league. And, you know, in order to do that, you just have to not be last. So a lot of the guys on my team I was fortunate enough to be a part of, we were like, man, we really want to win. Like, that was the goal, to win, to make playoffs, to really have a good, successful year or season right from the jump, you know, of the club being in Plus Liga. So, you know, we were able to really, you know, do something good for the city and for the club. And We were able to have some success. We won some games. We were able to upset some top level teams, and we were, you know, before season got cut short, we were really close to making playoffs, and almost, if I think if we won another game, we would have made playoffs. So being a part of that was pretty awesome, just because of what we were able to do for the city and what we were able to do for the club and the players that have been playing there for the past couple years. You know, just really having some you know, good success compared to what the, you know, what the club wanted in the first place. So that was really awesome to be a part of, and, you know, really kind of, you know, go beyond their expectations and standards.
Excellent. Well, hey, although there were no other Americans on the team, you did have a former opponent as a teammate in Nicholas Shergin.
Yeah.
And I'd asked you about this, but I thought it was funny about what his name was on the roster for your team because of like a translation, since he was Polish and French. Can you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, so if you translate his name, a lot of the times you'll see Nicholas Hornet in his last name. Translates to Hornet. So a lot of the times I would get confused a lot too. Like, we don't have no Hornet on our team. You know, looking up stats and looking up, you know, articles and stuff. But he explained to me that, yeah, that's just my name in Polish. And him being just a truly awesome guy on top of being just an incredible volleyball player. He's just, you know, just an awesome to be a part of, just to call him friend and just to call him a teammate was pretty awesome.
Well, what role did he play in your transition to playing in your first year abroad?
Yeah, he helped me out so much. Him being one, my translator, him helping me, you know, navigate around the city, navigate around, you know, just being a professional volleyball player, you know, the ins and outs of the sport. You know, even though he was only there maybe a year, he just knew more than I did. So I was just trying to hang with him as much as I can, you know, learn from him as much as I can. And, you know, on top of that, just him being an overall awesome guy to hang out with, it was, you know, I truly, truly thankful and blessed to have had him just to, you know, help my kind of, you know, journey through that first year just a lot more easier.
Yeah. Well, you're heading back to the same team for the 2021 season. What's the outlook for the team?
Yeah. So we lost Nico. He's going to a different Polish team. Kind of tough just because he was one an unbelievable player, and I think this past season he led in aces by a long shot, so pretty tough loss, but we were able to get some pretty good Polish players transferring in, so I think we have the same kind of core group of guys in the team from last season, so I really think it's going to be, you know, a good time, just because, you know, it's not a huge change of guys. It's kind of the same guys who did really well in the past season. So we're keeping some good guys. We're getting some, you know, pretty good guys as well. And I don't know, man, like the team is seeming to, I mean, the league is seeming to like stack up a little bit, just because a lot of Polish guys are coming back from their overseas or from their like teams that they were playing over. The same with other guys too, you know, the league seems to be, you know, kind of going up in, you know, talent. So it'll be a fun season, one, just, you know, playing with the same guys and also playing really good volleyball. So,
yeah. Well, it's crazy is you have a bunch of Americans that are going to be out there this next season with Taylor Sander, Brendan Sander, David Smith, yourself, and I know I'm missing others. I just haven't got the entire report, but it's got to be a good thing that the Polish league competition is ramping up, huh?
Yeah, no, I'm definitely super excited to play, you know, that level of ball. So really excited to see some of the homies too, you know, from USA. So it'll be awesome.
So I just got to ask though, with Nico on your team, did you ever like show him like, hey, check out these two national championship rings. Where are yours, bro?
Well, he's got his fair share, so I can't really say nothing. But
yeah, after that, what have you done for me lately in his face, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's an excellent player. He is he applied so much pain to a lot of people during his time at Ohio State.
Unreal, his career at Ohio State is unreal.
Well, I've got to ask you, because I know you're probably going to be shipping off soon to Poland, but how are you maintaining your training and focus for this upcoming season during this pandemic?
Yeah, definitely pretty tough to find opportunities to really train. a lot of the times it's finding myself at home just doing workouts, you know, going for runs and, you know, just trying to do whatever I can, you know, that's available, you know, all the resources I have here to really keep myself in shape. And then also finding little opportunities here to, you know, find some gym time and touch some balls. So it's definitely kind of a struggle just because, you know, it's not the same, you know, every day I'm not able to go and get into the weight room and get into, you know, a gym to get reps. But, you know, it's definitely like, you know, trying to find the little resources and whatever opportunities I have around the house, you know, around, you know, locally, you know, whatever opens up, you know, again, locally. So, and then just mentally trying to stay in it, watching a lot of film now and, you know, just trying to be, you know, a part of the game still, you know.
Well, it's cool. I've actually been going through some footage from last year and how you showed up in the NCAA top five plays and you were the top three of the five. So not cool. There's obviously a Josh Tuoniga fan at the NCAA.
A little too much in these highlights, man. We got to take these off. No,
hey, I have no problem pumping the setter status there. The unsung heroes, them and Libros.
Hey, they caught me diving for some balls. I was like, man, I could have probably got my feet there a little bit better.
Don't tell Coach Knight that. Hey, so, you know, we're going to see the end of this pandemic. But, you know, there are people who are struggling with the times that we're in. And it's very historic times. And you've heard it so many places that it's unprecedented. And what words of encouragement would you have for our listeners and viewers during these times, be they an athlete or not?
Yeah, I don't know. Obviously, it's tough times. But I'm a true believer in, like, you know, going through tough times and coming out just a stronger and better person. So for people to have that mindset of like, man, like out of this is going to be a new person, is going to be a better person. We're going to grow from this. I think that's the mindset to have. You know, if you're just going to succumb to the, you know, oh man, it's tough. I can't really do anything. You know, I'm off track, you know, whatever. Then it's going to hit you pretty hard. But if you're able to kind of, you know, go through this time of like, man, like I can grow from this. It's obviously tough, but once this all ends and once the, you know, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and once we get to that, it's, you know, we're going to be a better person. We're going to be on a better track. You know, that's the mindset I think most should have, just because it's, you know, you're going to grow. It's an opportunity to grow for us as people. So, yeah.
Great advice, Josh. Hey, I forgot to ask this question earlier, but, you know, let's just jump quickly back to your collegiate years, but, being that you're the Long Beach State National Championship back-to-back and both years you defeated Hawaii, how's that relationship with you and your brother?
Oh. You know what? He's actually been able to coach a little bit for Long Beach State, so he's been a little bit on our side a little bit, but he definitely has some ties back to UH.
You know, he's slipping intel to Coach Wade, huh?
Yeah. Definitely a fun conversation with him.
I had to ask you because I know, I mean, like your entire family is such a great, great group of people and an awesome family. I enjoy seeing them everywhere that we're at. So, hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is former Long Beach State setter, back-to-back national championship, ABCA Player of the Year, USA Volleyball team member, and international professional volleyball player, Josh Tuoniga. Thanks for taking time on the Viral Volley podcast. Always enjoy chatting with you, Josh.
Appreciate you. All love.